Greetings, friends. Tonight's talk is from the seventh chapter of the Dhammapada, and it's the chapter where the Buddha describes what an arahant is in very practical terms. An arahant means a human being who has awakened through direct engagement with the Buddha's Dhamma, and specifically with the Eightfold Path. The previous chapter, where the Buddha describes fools and foolishness, a fool is someone who continually adapts, accommodates, and embellishes the Buddha's Dhamma to fit their own view. And so you'll notice in this sutta, the qualities of an awakened human being are all entirely practical. There's nothing magical, mystical about any of the Buddha's teachings, including his definition of what an awakened human being is within the framework of his Dhamma. It contrasts greatly with what most of modern Buddhism teaches as awakened human beings and the qualifications that an awakened, they don't even classify it as an awakened human being, as a Buddha would be. And most of those qualifications, beginning with the nonsense of remembering past lives, and all the other qualifications that are often put on awakening in the awakening process. Another one would be that it takes endless eons. And the Buddha didn't teach any of those things. He taught to completely discount even the thought of past lives or future lives or any type of establishment in any non-physical realm, whether it's past, present, or future. He simply taught a very specific Dhamma for any human being who wished to awaken according to what the Buddha describes as awakening, could do so in this present lifetime. So this is a chapter in the Dhammapada where the Buddha describes very clearly what that is. Lay down, come on. Oh, just lost my page. Lay down here. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. There you go. From the seventh chapter. The arahant, the perfected one, who has completed the Eightfold Path. Eightfold is in parentheses, but the only path the Buddha ever taught was an Eightfold Path, not a Bodhisattva path or any other, or a chanting path, an Eightfold Path, who is free of disappointment, who is free of all worldly entanglements, has abandoned the fever of passion. That's the Buddha's first description of an awakened human being. Free of disappointment, free of worldly entanglements, and free of the fever of passion. Of course, anybody can achieve that. Those who abandon clinging do not accumulate and do not overindulge with regards to food, whose purpose is understanding and unbound freedom. They cannot be trapped like the birds in the air. It's an interesting line. It took me a little bit of thinking and a little bit of investigation what that means, that we can't be tracked but like a bird in the air. It simply means that this is not something that another person can even direct in, except only in a general way. In other words, it's a completely internal Dhamma. There, no teacher, no human being, you want to believe in mystical teachings, no god or diva, any kind of disincarnate being, no, absolutely no mind-to-mind transmission like one of the major schools teaches. It cannot be tracked. In other words, an individual has to develop this for themselves. A teacher and following the Dhamma will take you there, a teacher who's actually studied the Buddha's teachings, but everything is done internally by the individual. And the great power that's in that, the great freedom, is that it's entirely up to me as the Dhamma practitioner whether I'm going to achieve this that the Buddha says is entirely achievable or not. The Buddha continues. Those whose fetters are destroyed, the fetters, briefly, fetters refer to, in a general way, something known as also the three defilements of greed, aversion, and deluded thinking. Those whose fetters are destroyed and are not attached to food, whose purpose is understanding and unbound freedom, even their path cannot be tracked like the birds in the air. All things, all beings hold dear the wise who know restraint, like a charioteer restrains a horse. All beings hold dear the wise who has destroyed pride, greed, aversion, and deluded thinking. The wise, and the Buddha is describing wisdom in the terms of awakening too. This is the wisdom of an awakened human being, and it needs to be applied in this very specific way. The wise, the arahant, like the earth itself, resents nothing. What a beautiful line. Like the earth itself, it's as resolute as a stone pillar in the Dhamma. Their mind pure, concentrated, refined, is free of worldly entanglements. Again, another reference back to ending eye-making and clinging a self-referential view to the objects, events, and views of the world. Calm thoughts, calm speech, calm deeds, the arahant, truly knowing the four truths. What an important line there. Another definition of an arahant is truly knowing the Four Noble Truths. I spent many, many years in so-called modern Buddhism, and looking back, it's surprising how very, very little reference there was to Four Noble Truths and certainly to the Eightfold Path as a path. In fact, even when it was mentioned, it was usually mentioned in the context of the Heart Sutra and the Lotus Sutra, where both sutras teach to discount and dismiss the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, the an understanding of five clinging aggregates, where it is central. And as the Buddha is saying in this sutta, that an arahant truly knows the Four Noble Truths. So if you dismiss it in importance or ignore it completely, you cannot develop awakening as the Buddha teaches awakening. You can achieve certain things in the modern lineages, but what I found out, the modern Buddhist teachings kept getting me more and more confused and frustrated. They weren't leading me to a calm and peaceful mind, and certainly not an understanding of the timeless truths of the Four Noble Truths. Truly knowing the four truths, this one is perfectly tranquil and wise. The arahant is free of blind faith and knows the end of karma. Think about how much modern Buddhist practitioners are practicing what they're practicing on completely blind faith, or because their friends and associates or charismatic teachers tell them to do something, when every human being knows that some of these things are just foolish and they can't possibly lead to anything of any practical benefit. And again, as the Buddha teaches, if we're doing something to gain a benefit in the future, that's contradicting what the Buddha teaches. So again, even if we follow it on that notion, that's blind faith, that if I do a million chants or a million bows or do this and do that, in another lifetime, I'll reap the benefit. Again, that's a complete contradiction to what the Buddha teaches. Having abandoned, and again, just to make that point now, for me to do something now with the hope and the wish and a blind faith that in the next 5 minutes or the next five lifetimes, I'll reap the benefits, that's the essence of greed, isn't it? It's the essence of clinging to a belief. Having abandoned the fetters, the cause for suffering has ceased. Just like that, having abandoned the fetters, having abandoned greed, aversion, and deluded thinking, if my Dhamma practice is based on greed over what I can accumulate or accomplish, I haven't abandoned any of the fetters, have I? Having abandoned the fetters, the cause of suffering has ceased. This one is the most excellent of people. Inspiring indeed is the arahant's dwelling, whether village, forest, or mountain. Inspiring are the quiet spaces where worldlings find no pleasure, only peace. Now the Buddha is talking about how an awakened human being, an arahant, sets the stage for other people to develop awakening by following that example and by entering that space that an arahant holds for other people. That's a true bodhisattva, but a bodhisattva that has awakened, not as a Buddha describes himself prior to his awakening, as an unawakened bodhisattva. Inspiring is where arahants, free of passion, rejoice from abandoning chasing sensual pleasure. Another important line. How do I know I'm awakened? When I rejoice from abandoning it, chasing after sensual pleasure. If I still notice that I have certain conditions on my life and certainly my Dhamma practice, again, it's just another aspect of craving and clinging. Abandoning chasing after sensual pleasure. I thought that was the end. That's the end of this chapter. Again, the significance of this teaching, but the underlying theme of everything that the Buddha teaches is the entirely practical nature of it, and that any human being who wholeheartedly engages with the Buddha's Dhamma can and will awaken. Well, that's tonight's talk. I'll have Chapter 9 on the Dhammapada next week, and if you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at becoming-buddha.com. Thank you. Peace.